Accessible Streets Overview, a summary. Opening announcement. This is the Accessible Streets Overview, a summary from the Ministry of Transport and Waka Kotahi New Zealand Transport Agency. Your narrator is Anne Spear in the Parnell Studios of Blind Low Vision NZ. Indexing. This document is on two levels. All the main headings are on level 1. Subsections and descriptions of graphics are on level 2. The document is on plain paper, with a footer reading Waka Kotahi NZ Transport Agency and page numbers from page 2. Contents. The print edition of this document has no list of contents. In this audio version, the material appears in this order. Notes about the proposals and rules, information about the 9 proposals, which include questions for your submission, the next phase, and information about making submissions. Accessible Streets Overview, a summary. The Ministry of Transport and Waka Kotahi NZ Transport Agency are proposing a collection of rule changes that we call the Accessible Streets Regulatory Package. These rules are designed to make our footpaths, shared paths, cycle lanes and cycle paths safer and more accessible for you. Accommodate the changing ways you use footpaths and cycle lanes, particularly as e-bikes, e-scooters and skateboards grow more popular. Encourage active modes of transport and support the creation of more livable and vibrant towns and cities. Make social and economic opportunities more accessible to you and make it safer for you to use the transport system. Our proposed rules also support the government policy statement on land transport and help road controlling authorities like local councils to better regulate their local areas. Accessible Streets will create a national framework clarifying the types of vehicles and devices that are allowed on footpaths, shared paths, and cycle lanes, and how they can use these spaces. This will include a 15 km per hour speed limit on the footpath and a requirement for all other footpath users to give way to pedestrians. The rules also clarify how road controlling authorities may regulate pedestrians, devices, and spaces like the footpath, and propose changes to the priority given to a range of road users to remove barriers to walking, device use, and cycling. We have summarized our proposed changes below. Proposal 1. Change and rename the types of devices that are used on footpaths, shared paths, and cycle lanes. To improve regulation on footpaths, shared paths, and cycle lanes, we propose to change some of the current vehicle and device categories to reflect how these vehicles and devices are used in these spaces. This change will help to clarify where particular devices or vehicles can go. For your information, a shared path is designed to be used by pedestrians, people using mobility devices, cyclists and people using devices. A sign or a marking on the path can be used to prioritize a particular user, like a pedestrian or cyclist, or to exclude particular users. A cycle path is a part of the road that is physically separated from motor traffic. They are usually located next to the roadway within the road reserve. They are intended for cyclists, but pedestrians and people using mobility devices may use them when a footpath is not available. A cycle lane is a lane within the roadway, often painted, designed for the passage of cycles, meaning users are in a separate lane from other traffic. They can be located next to parking, next to the curb, and between two traffic lanes, for example, between a bus lane and a general traffic lane. We have outlined the current vehicle device user type categories and what they'll become under the proposed changes further down in TIS. It'll be under current categories and then proposed categories. Current categories. pedestrians and powered wheelchair users. A pedestrian currently includes people on foot, people using unpowered wheelchairs, everyday items such as prams and shopping trolleys when used by a person walking. Pedestrians are the main people using the footpath. If there's no footpath available, they can also use cycle paths, cycle lanes, shared paths, and the roadway. A powered wheelchair is treated as a mobility device, but is not specifically defined as one in legislation. Please note that the definition of mobility devices is outlined below. As a mobility device, a powered wheelchair can be used on footpaths and shared paths, roads, cycle lanes and cycle paths when footpaths are not available. Currently, while an unpowered wheelchair is included in the pedestrian category, a powered wheelchair is not. This is inconsistent as both powered and unpowered wheelchairs are around the same size and share the same purpose. Current category, mobility devices. Mobility devices are defined as devices intended for people who require mobility assistance due to a physical or neurological impairment and are powered by a motor with a maximum power output up to 1500 watts. Current category, wheeled recreational devices. Wheeled recreational devices, also known as WRDs, are defined as a device with wheels propelled by human power, gravity, a small auxiliary motor with a maximum power output of up to 300 watts. They include push scooters, skateboards, inline rollerblades, low-powered motorized versions of the same devices, like e-scooters. It currently excludes cycles with a wheel diameter over 355 millimeters. This means that most bicycles are excluded. But bicycles and e-bikes with a wheel diameter under 355 millimeters are both a cycle and a wheeled recreational device. You can use a WRD on footpaths and roads and shared paths if permitted by road controlling authorities. There are two key issues with the current definition of WRDs. First, powered and unpowered devices are treated the same, despite major differences. Devices classed as WRDs are considered part of the same group, even though they travel at different speeds and are used in different ways. For example, some privately owned e-scooters can reach speeds up to 70 kilometers per hour, while rollerblades average about 12 kilometers an hour. And it's rare to use rollerblades on the road, but common for e-scooters. Second, WRDs are also defined as motor vehicles, and this is confusing for users. Under the current definition, a range of low-powered WRDs, such as e-skateboards, powered unicycles and hoverboards, are also considered motor vehicles. These are not technically permitted on the footpath. This can be confusing because people expect that if a device fits the definition of a WRD, they can use it on the footpath. Current category, cycles and e-bikes. Cycles, including adult tricycles and e-bikes, are treated as their own vehicle category. Adult cycles are too large to be considered a wheeled recreational device. Cycles with a wheel diameter less than 355 millimeters, the average size for a six-year-old, are both a WRD and a cycle. Cycles and e-bikes are not permitted on the footpath. They can use cycle paths, cycle lanes, and the road. Shared paths if a road controlling authority permits it. Proposed categories, pedestrians and powered wheelchair users. We propose to create a new category for powered wheelchairs. Under this change, users of powered wheelchairs will be treated as pedestrians because powered wheelchairs are crucial to the movement of the people using them. A powered wheelchair will be defined as a wheelchair, propelled by mechanical power and operated by a joystick or other software. This change helps to recognise the similarities in risk between powered wheelchairs, unpowered wheelchairs and pedestrians, and sets them apart from a person using a much larger, faster and higher risk mobility device, like a high-speed mobility scooter. Powered wheelchairs will be treated as pedestrians and will be allowed to use the footpath. If there's no footpath available, they can also use cycle paths, cycle lanes and shared paths. Proposed category, mobility devices. Powered wheelchairs will no longer be considered a mobility device and will be recategorized as pedestrians. There will be no other changes to devices in this category. We'll review the mobility device category as part of later work. Proposed category, transport devices. One proposed change will replace wheeled recreational devices with two new categories. The first is unpowered transport devices, which will include devices such as push scooters and skateboards. The second is powered transport devices, which will include devices such as e-scooters and yike bikes. Together, unpowered and powered transport devices will be referred to as transport devices. Unpowered transport device. Our proposed change will create a category that includes small unpowered devices like skateboards, push scooters and rollerblades. The device must be propelled by human power or gravity. The new definition will remove wheeled diameter requirements. Unpowered transport devices can be used on footpaths under certain conditions, cycle paths, cycle lanes, and shared paths if a road controlling authority permits it. Powered transport devices. Our proposed change will create a category for low-powered devices that are propelled by a motor and have been declared by the transport agency not to be a motor vehicle. The new definition will remove wheel diameter requirements. The transport agency can declare that a device isn't a motor vehicle if its maximum power output is under 600 watts. The transport agency can also impose conditions on the use of a powered transport device if the maximum power output is between 300 and 600 watts. The Land Transport Act 1998 sets out these criteria. Powered transport devices can be used on footpaths under certain conditions, cycle lanes, cycle paths and shared paths if a road controlling authority permits it. Under this change, only e-scooters and yike bikes are powered transport devices. All other powered devices like e-skateboards, powered unicycles and hoverboards are motor vehicles and will not be allowed on the footpath unless the transport agency makes a declaration. Proposed category, cycles and e-bikes. Cycles and e-bikes will continue to be separate category of vehicle. Small-wheeled cycles and e-bikes that are propelled by cranks will be classified as cycles. A crank is a bicycle part that connects its pedals to a chain, which helps the wheels to move forward and backward. Under the proposed changes, cycles and e-bikes can be used on the footpath under certain conditions, cycle paths, cycle lanes and the road, shared paths if a road controlling authority permits it. By creating new vehicle and device categories and recategorizing some devices, we'll remove inconsistencies within the current categories, reflect how different devices and vehicles are now used. Our proposed changes will regulate devices based on how they're used. Proposal 1. Change and rename the types of devices that are used on footpaths, shared paths, and cycle lanes. Questions for your submission. 1. Do you agree that powered wheelchairs should be treated as pedestrians and share the same level of access? Why? Why not? 2. Do you agree with the proposal to replace wheeled recreational devices with new categories for unpowered and powered transport devices? Why? Why not? 3. What steps should the transport agency take before declaring a vehicle not to be a motor vehicle? 4. If the transport agency declares a vehicle not to be a motor vehicle, do you think it should be able to impose conditions? If yes, should such conditions be able to be applied regardless of the power output of the device? 5. We propose to clarify that A. Low-powered vehicles that have not been declared not to be motor vehicles by the transport agency, e.g. hoverboards, e-skateboards and other emerging devices, are not allowed on the footpath. B. These vehicles are also not allowed on the road under current rules because they do not meet motor vehicle standards. C. If the transport agency declares any of these vehicles not to be motor vehicles in the future, they will be classified as powered transport devices and will be permitted on the footpath and the road, along with other paths and cycle lanes. Do you agree with this proposed clarification? Why? Why not? 6. Do you agree with the proposal that small-wheeled cycles that are propelled by cranks be defined as cycles, and small-wheeled cycles that are not propelled by cranks, such as balance bikes, be defined as transport devices? Why? Why not? 7. Mobility devices have the same level of access as pedestrians, but will have to give way to pedestrians and powered wheelchairs under the proposed changes. Do you agree? Why? Why not? 8. Do you think there will be any safety or access-related problems with mobility devices operating in different spaces? Please explain. 9. We intend to review the mobility category at a later date. What factors do you think we need to consider? Proposal 2. Establish a national framework for the use of footpaths. Currently, people using a device on the footpath must behave in a courteous and considerate manner, travelling in a way that is not dangerous for other people using the footpath. Footnote 1. This means that device users must not constitute a hazard when travelling on the footpath. For more information, refer to Section 3 of the Land Transport Paths and Road Margins Rule, 2019. There are no restrictions on the speed they can travel or the size of the device. Fast-moving devices such as e-scooters are now commonly used on the footpath. To ensure they are used safely and continue to provide mobility benefits to everyone using them, we propose a new rule, the Land Transport Rule, Paths and Road Margins 2019. Our proposed new rule aims to redefine the users of the footpath, establish a national framework for vehicle and device use on the footpath, and enable road controlling authorities, like local councils, to lower the speed limit or restrict users on the footpath if needed. For the safety of others sharing the footpath, users riding on the footpath under the new rule must behave in a courteous and considerate manner, travel in a way that is not dangerous for other people using the footpath, give right-of-way to pedestrians, travel no faster than 15 kilometres an hour, and ride a device less than 750 millimetres wide so multiple people can still use the footpath. Everyone using the footpath, except pedestrians walking or running, must follow the above requirements. Under the new framework, the vehicles and devices that can be used on the footpath are mobility devices, transport devices, formerly wheeled recreational devices, cycles, including e-bikes, wheelchairs, although these users won't need to follow the width restriction. We propose that road controlling authorities, like local councils, will be able to lower the speed limit on the footpath to 10 kilometres or 5 kilometres. They will not be able to increase the speed limit. We also propose that road controlling authorities will have the ability to ban or restrict some vehicles or devices from the footpath. However, they would need to consult with their community before making this decision. Proposal 2. Establish a national framework for the use of footpaths. Questions for your submission. Question 10. Our proposed changes will allow mobility devices, transport devices, and cycles on the footpath, provided users meet speed, width, and behavioural requirements. Do you support this? Why? Why not? Should there be any other requirements? 11. Our proposal allows road controlling authorities to restrict cycle or device use on certain footpaths or areas of footpaths to suit local communities and conditions. Do you agree with this proposal? Why? Why not? Do you have any comments on the proposed process? 12. We envisage that local authorities will make decisions to regulate the use of paths by resolution rather than by making a bylaw. Should this be specified in the Land Transport Rule, Path and Road Margins 2020, to provide certainty? Why? Why not? Question 13. We're proposing that road controlling authorities consider and follow criteria in addition to their usual resolution processes if they want to restrict devices from using the footpath. Do you agree with this proposal and the proposed criteria? Why? Why not? 14. We propose that pedestrians should always have right of way on the footpath. Do you agree with this proposal? Why? Why not? 15. This proposal sets out three behavioural requirements. A. Footpath users will operate vehicles in a courteous and considerate manner. B. Travel in a way that isn't dangerous. And C. Give right of way to pedestrians. Do you agree with these three requirements? Are there any others we should consider? Question 16. Do you agree with the proposed default speed limit of 15 kilometres per hour for footpaths? Why? Why not? Do you think the proposed speed limit should be higher, lower? 17. Do you agree with the proposal that road controlling authorities will be able to lower the default speed limit for a footpath or areas of footpaths? Why? Why not? 18. Are there other ways that you can think of to improve footpath safety? Please explain. 19. Do you agree with the proposed maximum width measurement of 750 millimetres, except for wheelchairs, for device use on the footpath? Should this maximum width limit be wider, narrower? 20. Do you use a mobility device? If yes, what is the width of your device? Would the proposed width restriction impact you? Question 21. Should the maximum width limit apply to mobility devices? Why? Why not? Proposal 3. Establish a national framework for the use of shared paths and cycle paths. Rules for using footpaths, shared paths and cycle paths are unclear. However, more people are using them more frequently and using more devices in these spaces. This creates challenges around access for all new and existing users of these paths. To manage these challenges, we propose a new rule, the Land Transport Rule, Paths and Road Margins 2019. The new rule aims to redefine and provide clear rules for the users of shared paths and cycle paths. It will establish a national framework for the use of devices in these spaces by allowing road controlling authorities to declare a path to be a shared path or cycle path by resolution, clarifying that all users must give way to pedestrians on shared paths, setting a speed limit on shared paths and cycle paths. This means if a path is located beside a roadway, the speed limit on the path will match the roadway. If a path is not located beside a roadway, the speed limit will be 50 kilometers per hour. The new rule will also enable road controlling authorities, like local councils, to lower the speed limit or restrict users in these spaces if needed. Proposal 3. Establish a national framework for the use of shared paths and cycle paths. Questions for your submission. Question 22. Do you agree that road controlling authorities should be able to declare a path a shared path or a cycle path? What factors should be considered when making this decision? 23. Do you agree with the behavioural requirements we are proposing? Should there be other requirements or rules to use a shared path or cycle path? 24. Do you agree that all users be required to give way to pedestrians when using a shared path? Why? Why not? 25. Do you agree with the proposed speed limits for shared paths and cycle paths and the ability of road controlling authorities to change these limits? Please explain. Question 26. Do you think that the transport agency should be able to investigate and direct road controlling authorities to comply with the required criteria? Why? Why not? Proposal 4. Enable transport devices to use cycle lanes and cycle paths. Our proposed change will allow transport devices, including e-scooters and skateboards, to be used in cycle lanes and all cycle paths. Pedestrians and mobility devices can still use cycle lanes and cycle paths if a footpath is not available. The change is intended to encourage faster transport devices, like e-scooters or skateboards, to move off the footpath and onto parts of the road where they are less likely to come into conflict with pedestrians or fast-moving motor vehicles. They can still use the footpath if they keep to the speed limit. They can use shared paths, most cycle paths, and the road as they do currently. Proposal 4. Enable transport devices to use cycle lanes and cycle paths. Questions for your submission. Question 27. Do you agree that devices other than cycles should be allowed to use cycle lanes and or cycle paths? Why? Why not? Proposal 5. Introducing lighting and reflector requirements for transport devices at night. Currently, cycles must use a headlamp, a rear-facing position light, reflectors when riding on the road at night. Transport devices, while also permitted on the road, do not have any lighting or reflector requirements. This inconsistency can be dangerous, as it means transport devices can travel at night without being visible to others. The risk is increased if the user is on the road with fast-moving traffic. Our proposed change would only permit transport devices on the road and paths at night, provided the device is fitted with a headlamp, a rear-facing position light, and a reflector, or if the user is wearing reflective material. If proposals 5 and 6C are introduced, these lighting and reflector requirements would apply when riding in a cycle lane or cycle path at night too. For your information, a headlamp is a lamp attached to the front of a bicycle or device. A position light is another light attached to a bicycle or device. Reflectors work by bouncing light back in the direction of its source. They can either be attached to a bicycle or device or worn as reflective material. Proposal 5. Introduce lighting and reflector requirements for powered transport devices at night. Questions for your submission. Question 29. Do you agree with the proposal that powered transport devices must be fitted with a headlamp, rear-facing position light, and be fitted with a reflector, unless the user is wearing reflective material, if they are used at night? Why? Why not? Question 30. Do you think these requirements are practical? For example, if you own a powered transport device, will you be able to purchase and attach a reflector or lights to your device or yourself? Question 31. Do you think unpowered transport device users should be required to meet the same lighting and reflector requirements as powered transport device users at nighttime? Why? Why not? Proposal 6. Remove barriers to walking, device use, and cycling through rule changes. Proposal 6 makes changes to the priority of a range of road users. Proposal 6A. Allow cycles and transport devices to travel straight ahead from a left turn lane. We propose that cycles and transport devices will be allowed to travel straight ahead from a left-turning lane unless it is unsafe to do so. This is pictured below in Figure A. When cycle lanes are not available, riding straight ahead from a left turn lane can often be safer than travelling through heavy, high-speed traffic in the straight through lane. The left turn lane usually has less traffic, travelling at lower speeds. Figure A. This is a graphic of a light controlled intersection. You have two lanes of traffic, with one being the left-hand lane and the other the straight-ahead lane. You have a cyclist in the front of the left-hand lane and a car wanting to turn left behind them as B. Then you have C, which is a car going straight ahead, and D, a car going straight ahead. Under the proposed changes, the cyclist, labelled A, will be able to travel straight ahead from the left turn lane with one left turning car, car B, instead of the lane with two cars, C and D. Proposal 6A. Allow cycles and transport devices to travel straight ahead from a left turn lane. Questions for your submission. Question 32. Do you agree that cyclists and transport devices should be able to ride straight ahead from a left turn lane at an intersection when it is safe to do so? Why? Why not? Proposal 6B. Allow cycles and transport devices to carefully pass slow-moving vehicles on the left unless a motor vehicle is indicating a left turn. We propose that cyclists and transport device users will be allowed to pass slow-moving traffic on the left. Passing on the left is known as undertaking, and many cyclists do this already. On the road, cycles and transport devices must ride as far left as practicable. Undertaking allows them to maintain a safe, steady speed past slow stop-start traffic while avoiding travelling between motor vehicles. Figure B. This is a road with car parking on the left, two cars and one lane of traffic. We have a cyclist going down along the line of parked cars as A. We have B and C, which are two cars just going straight ahead, and D and E, which are parked cars. Under the proposed change, the cyclist, labelled A, can pass slow-moving cars, labelled B and C, on the left. If the cyclist is passing slow-moving vehicles on the left and parked cars on the right, labelled D and E, the cyclist will need to pass carefully. Proposal 6B. Allow cycles and transport devices to carefully pass slow-moving vehicles on the left unless a motor vehicle is indicating a left turn. Questions for your submission. Question 33. Do you agree that cyclists and transport devices should be allowed to carefully undertake slow-moving traffic? Why? Why not? Proposal 6C. Give cycles and buses priority over turning traffic when they are travelling through an intersection in a separated lane. We propose to clarify that turning traffic must give way to cycles, transport devices and buses when those users are travelling straight through an intersection in a separated lane. By separated lane, we mean a lane that is physically separated from other traffic lanes with the use of a device like a concrete barrier or planter box. These separated lanes are usually used by cycles, transport devices and buses. This will clarify who has the right of way at intersections. Buses, cycles and transport devices can expect fewer delays as they do not have to wait for turning traffic. It is also expected to reduce risks for users of these modes as traffic is more likely to slow down before turning to check for cycles, buses or transport devices. Less risk and a faster commute may encourage the use of public transport, transport devices, and cycling over private vehicles. Figure C is of an intersection controlled by lights, but we have a bike path beside the main lane, so we have bike path with A waiting at the lights and B, people going further. We have a car turning left, which would go through the bike lane, and D, we have a car turning right, again through the same bike lane. Under the proposed change, the cars labelled C and D would need to give way to the cyclists travelling through the intersection, A and B, before turning onto the side road. Proposal 6C. Give cycles, transport devices and buses priority over turning traffic when they are travelling through an intersection in a separated lane. Questions for your submission. Question 34. Do you agree that turning traffic should give way to users travelling straight through at an intersection from a separated lane? Why? Why not? 35. Our proposed change will introduce a list of traffic control devices used to separate lanes from the roadway to help you understand what a separated lane is and if the user has right of way at an intersection. Is such a list necessary? Why? Why not? Question 36. Should the definition of a separated lane include the distance between the lane and the road? Why? Why not? Proposal 6D. Give priority to footpath, shared path and cycle path users over turning traffic where the necessary traffic control devices are installed. Our proposed change will mean people on the path will have priority over turning traffic when they are crossing a side road anywhere that minimum markings are installed. People on the path are treated consistently with other users going straight through, anywhere the appropriate traffic control devices are installed. We propose that minimum markings be two white lines across the side road. Our proposed change is expected to reduce delays for path users and make active modes more attractive. Giving priority to footpath, shared path and cycle path users over turning traffic is expected to increase their safety and priority at intersections. Figure D. This is an example of a left turning into a side street with a cycle path on the side. So you have cycle path A, a cyclist A, who is on the same side as car E, which is turning left. And then you have that's going one way, and then you have cyclist C and B going the opposite way. But again, there is a car coming out of the side road labelled D. Now, where the cycle path is, there are two straight lines crossing the road. The pedestrians in the picture, labelled A and B, are crossing the side road with white lines. We propose that these pedestrians would have right-of-way over turning traffic and other path users. The cyclist, C, about to cross the side road, would also have right-of-way over turning traffic, but would need to give way to the pedestrians also crossing the road. The cars on the road, labelled D and E, will need to give way to the pedestrians and the cyclist crossing the road. Proposal 6D. Give priority to footpath, shared path and cycle path users over turning traffic where necessary traffic control devices are installed. Questions for your submission. Question 37. Do you agree that turning traffic should give way to path users crossing a side road with the proposed markings? Why? Why not? 38. Do you think that the proposed minimum markings are appropriate? Question 39. We are proposing future guidance for additional treatments. Is there any guidance that you would like to see or recommend? Proposal 7. Mandate a minimum overtaking gap for motor vehicles overtaking cycles, transport devices, horses, pedestrians, and people using mobility devices on the road. Our proposed change will ensure drivers of motor vehicles pass at a safe distance when overtaking cyclists, horses, pedestrians, and people using transport devices and mobility devices on the road. The minimum overtaking gap will be 1 meter when the posted speed limit is 60 kilometers an hour or less, 1.5 meters when the posted speed limit is over 60 kilometers an hour. A mandatory minimum overtaking gap will set a clear expectation of what a safe minimum passing distance is. Legitimise what's currently a guideline. Raise awareness of this practice. The proposed change is expected to decrease the number of incidents involving overtaking vehicles and vulnerable road users. Proposal 7. Mandate a minimum overtaking gap for motor vehicles passing cycles, transport devices, horses, pedestrians, and people using mobility devices on the road. Questions for your submission. Question 40. Do you agree with the proposal for a mandatory minimum overtaking gap for motor vehicles of 1 metre when the speed limit is 60 kilometres an hour or less, and 1.5 metres when the speed limit is over 60 kilometres an hour when passing pedestrians, cyclists, horse riders and users of other devices? Why? Why not? Proposal 8. Clarify how road controlling authorities can restrict parking on berms. Currently, to restrict parking on berms, local councils can introduce a bylaw, prohibiting parking in certain locations and signposting the prohibition in those locations. Different councils disagree on whether they need signage. Our proposed change will remove the need for signage and clarify what's needed for road controlling authorities to restrict parking on berms. Road controlling authorities will be able to restrict passing on a berm or an area of berms by passing a resolution and registering the restriction with the New Zealand Transport Agency. This means that if a road controlling authority feels that berm parking on a collection of streets is a safety issue, they'll have the power to restrict berm parking in those spaces without using a sign. Proposal 8. Clarify how road controlling authorities can restrict parking on berms. Questions for your submission. Question 41. Do you agree with the proposal that road controlling authorities should be able to restrict berm parking without the use of signs and instead rely on an online register? Why? Why not? 42. Would it be helpful if information on berm parking restrictions was available in other places, like at a local library, eyesight, or a local council? Proposal 9. Give buses priority when exiting bus stops. Under our proposed change, road users must give way when an urban bus on a scheduled public transport service is leaving assigned bus stop and has indicated for 3 seconds. Our proposed change will apply on roads with a posted speed limit of 60 kilometres an hour or less. This will signal that public transport has priority in urban areas, as buses usually carry more people than cars. Proposal 9. Give buses priority when exiting bus stops. Questions for your submission. Question 43. Do you agree that traffic should give way to indicating buses leaving a bus stop on a road with a speed limit of 60 kilometres an hour or less? Why? Why not? Question 44. Should traffic give way to buses in other situations? For example, when a bus is exiting a bus lane and emerging back into traffic lanes. Why? Why not? We want to hear what you think. The next phase of the rules development process is to consider your views and the impact that the proposed changes would have on you. You can find further information about these proposals in the Accessible Streets Overview, available at www.nzta.gov.nz/accessible-streets-consultation, which also includes a series of questions about the proposal. These questions are also provided in the online submission form available at the above web address or by calling or writing to us. Your submission is public information. We will use your submission to help us make the changes to the rules. Please note that Waka Kotahi New Zealand Transport Agency, the Transport Agency, will publish a summary of submissions. If you do not want your name or any identifying information to be included in anything we publish, including because you believe your comments are commercially sensitive, please indicate this clearly in your submission. Please note that your submission is also subject to the Official Information Act 1982, OIA. This means that other people will be able to obtain copies of submissions by making a request under the OIA. If you think there are grounds for your information to be withheld under the OIA, please note this in your submission. We will take your reasons into account and may consult with you when responding to requests under the OIA. You can make a submission in the following ways. 1. Fill in the online survey. https://www.surveymonkey.com/rMXTDZBC. 2. Fill in the submission form, which contains the range of questions. The submission form is available online at www.nzta.gov.nz/accessible-streets-consultation. And you can request a copy by emailing us, accessible.streets@nzta.gov.nz, or phoning our call centre 0800-699-000. Please include the following information in your submission. The title, Accessible Streets Regulatory Package 2020. Your name and job title, if applicable. Your organization's name, if applicable. Your address, postal and email, if applicable. A. Send your submission to us by email. Email us a letter, video response, or questionnaire to accessible.streets@nzta.govt.nz. B. You can post us your submission to Accessible Streets Regulatory Package 2020, Transport System Policy Team, The Transport Agency, Majestic Centre, PO Box 5084, Wellington 6140. Please note, the deadline for submissions is 5 p.m. on the 22nd of April 2020. Closing announcement. That concludes the Accessible Streets Overview, a summary from the Ministry of Transport and Waka Kotahi NZ Transport Agency. Your narrator was Anne Spear in the Parnell Studios of Blind Low Vision NZ. Thank you. Nga mihi o te rā.